Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, August 30th. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. And on Skype with me is my sister Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. How's everything down there, Jewel?
Well, Liz, I'm it's so new to me that you're on the Tuesday show.
Tuesdays.
I don't know what it's like. What are you doing on the Tuesday show?
Tuesdays rock.
But where is Leanne? But I'm happy, Liz. I'm happy to be here with you. I am just clinging to the end of summer as hard as I can. And I have made myself a list of summertime activities, from eating watermelon to taking a swim to applying large amounts of sunscreen. Just, I'm going to do it all during this final week and weekend of summer. Yes.
Well, I actually have a summer activity suggestion for you then.
Oh.
Sleep in a tree, Julie.
What?
It's the latest thing. Hammocking, sleeping in a tree. It's the latest thing. I have the how to sleep in a tree list that you've been looking for, so you can sleep in a tree before the summer is over.
Okay, Liz, I didn't know I wanted to do that, but I like to stay up on trends, so I look forward to hearing all the details.
Well, I'll tell you all about it. I know we have a lot to talk about today. We did want to mention Gene Wilder. You know, what a lovely, great guy.
I know. There's just wonderful movies. What a great actor. You know, just obviously I didn't know him, but you just had a sense of that he had – it was a great soul.
Yes,
that's what I think.
For sure. But I also have an update for you. You know, I am an Emmy voter, and the Emmy voting closed last night. So I have finished all of my voting. So I feel like you cannot influence me in any way about what I'm going to vote for. But as I was doing my Emmy voting, there's an obscure category for me in Emmy voting that has a lot of excellent material, Julie. Like, I have some entertainment picks from this obscure, I think it might be even be a brand new category, but whatever. Things to do, like tips on killing time on the internet. I've got a really good list today based on the Emmy nomination. So how about that?
All right, Liz. Well, first of all, I'm just, of course, impressed. I'm not surprised about this one, that you're an Emmy voter, because you're just one of those people that they would invite to vote on important
things. You know what? You don't even get invited. You just sign up. As long as you legitimately have a job in the television business, which I used to have.
Oops. Well, I hope they're not listening to the podcast, because they're going to pull your ballot, Liz.
No, it's not like the Academy for Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, where you get invited. Emmys, whatever. It's just TV. If you work in the TV business, you can vote on the Emmys. So anyway, but little did I know that there's all this TV that's happening not on TV that is definitely worth watching. But you also have some entertainment picks and pans.
Yes, two picks this week. I have a great book I want to talk about, a great movie that I recommend everyone to see. And I finally saw a trailer of a movie that I am just panning. I'm not going to see this.
Based
on the trailer. I from time to time, I make movie recommendations. They're usually negative. If I don't like it, I like to speak up about it. But this movie looks terrible. Okay. Just terrible. Okay. I also have just one more key piece of back to school, back to college information. I heard something just so incredibly brilliant this past week. I have to pass it on to all Satellite Sisters, particularly those that have sons that are in college or going off to college.
Okay. Which would include, of course, our sister Leanne.
Oh, yes. Leanne. Mm-hmm. Listen up, Leanne. Mm-hmm. This is for Colin. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to the top of our list and just talk about Gene Wilder for a second. As you said, Julie, like, such a magical person, such a lovely performer, just a sort of sweetness and a quirkiness and a light to him. And I think also many women I know feel even more positively about Gene Wilder because he was married to Gilda Radner. So
yeah, that's so true, Liz. You know, again, we don't know these people in real life.
No.
We don't know what their like relationship was like, but that seemed so lovely when the two of them were together. And I felt so sad for him when Gilda died, and just, Yeah. And I love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Who doesn't?
Yes.
Well, he died over the weekend, and it was interesting to read in the coverage that he died of the complications related to Alzheimer's.
Oh, see, I didn't know that, Liz. Yeah. I have to say, I didn't read any of the obits, so I saw that he passed, but I didn't know that. Oh.
Well, the reason you didn't know that, Julie, is because he decided and his family decided not to tell anyone. And I thought that this was really interesting, their reasoning why. And I heard his nephew on the radio last night talking about it. And it was also in the written statement that the nephew issued. He decided he didn't want people to know, because when he was out in public and kids would see him, kids would just light up because there's Willy Wonka, right?
Yes, yes.
Like the fact that you could be in a restaurant or in a park or in any kind of public place and Willy Wonka would be there was just gave children great joy. And it gave Gene Wilder great joy to see children reacting that way to him throughout his life after he made Willy Wonka. And he decided he didn't want the adults in their life, when the kid is all like excited about seeing Willy Wonka, he didn't want to think that an adult in their life would lean over and either say to the child or say to another adult who was there, oh, you know, it's so sad. He has this disease called Alzheimer's. And he just thought it would be so crushing for kids to hear that Willy Wonka was sick. He didn't want anyone to know. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that he was really trying to protect the child's experience.
Yeah, just the magic of it all.
Yeah.
Just the magic of it all. Aww. And last night, James Corden told a lovely story about Gene Wilder. You know, I just love that show, The Late Late Show. And I'm not going to give away who I voted for in that category, but I just love James Corden.
I discovered him, Liz. But yes, carry on.
And anyway, he said one time he was in New York on doing a play, and he didn't say what it was, but it must have been that British play he was in, like
Two Governors.
Yes.
Which I saw, Liz. Okay, I saw that. Okay, I was on to
Cutting
James Corden so early. Okay, go ahead. Carry on.
So he didn't name the play, but that must have been the play because it was on Broadway, you know, years ago. And he said, you know, people come backstage to see you and, you know, they'll say hello for 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but that's it. But when he heard that Gene Wilder was in the audience, he said, me most of all, but everyone in the whole cast was just beside themselves. Because if you're ever really going to want to be at your tip top funniest, it is when Gene Wilder is in the audience. And he said that he came backstage after the show and didn't spend 5 minutes with him or 10 minutes with him, but sat with him for 30 minutes, just talking to him about his family and how they were adjusting to living in New York and how was everything going. And so James said he was such a lovely, lovely person, just the way you would want him to be, that when they started the Late Late Show last year, you know, the opening sketch featured Willy Wonka. And that the golden ticket being the job as the host of the Late Late Show.
I didn't realize that.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank Pros for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from Pros is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that Pros hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, Pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, Pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
So he said he wrote to Gene Wilder to ask him if he would want to be in that opening sketch on his opening episode. And he didn't say this last night, but obviously at some point, I mean, this was only a year ago, if he had Alzheimer's, you know, it was obviously more advanced. And anyway, so but nobody knew that. So he said, I emailed him and I got back this note. And he said, it's still like the loveliest turn down I have ever gotten in my career in show business. He just wrote, Dearest James, I don't do or go where you were hoping, but I'll be looking for you, Gene.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's just so, and what he said last night on the show, he said, it even sounds like Willy Wonka, you know, even though to me, it sounds like someone really struggling with his use of the language, right?
Right.
Which we experienced with our father. But anyway, Gene Wilder, just a lovely person and leaves behind just a beautiful body of work. So if you're, you know, killing time on the internet this week, like I am.
Liz, we have to get into that.
You might want to check out a few of the
I know
of
he has some great movies. Just enjoy. That's
sad.
Yeah, that is sad. Well, another headline that is sad, but in a very different way. I mean, I think our Satellite Sisters, our condolences go out to Huma Abedin. I mean, yesterday when that story broke, I came through on my Twitter feed that Anthony Weiner had again been caught in a sexting scandal. I thought I was being tricked by the internet again, yes. Liz. You know, from time to time I get tricked by the internet. I can't believe everything I read. I was like, oh, it must be a mistake or something that this couldn't possibly be the third time after he's already blown up his congressional career, blown up his run for, mayor. He's a father of a child now. And so, but that is very sad news. Very sad news for that family, to have such a public struggle, that obviously there's some real issues there, and to have it play out in such a, hugely public way that is now connected with the political campaigns. I mean, that is a lot of heartbreak.
Exactly. A lot of heartbreak, and really makes you think that what seemed maybe in the first round to just be like foolish behavior is now in round three, some kind of sickness, very serious sickness.
I know. And, I had been invited to go see the documentary about Anthony Weiner. Did you see that, Liz?
I did not. The one called Weiner?
Weiner, yes. And it was getting very good reviews and people, but I didn't want to go see it because because of Anthony Weiner. I didn't want to encourage anything he was doing. And I declined to go see that. But I mean, that again, he was in some ways, because he was getting a positive reviews of this documentary about his life, that it was sort of his comeback. He survived two sex scandals. He was working as a columnist for, a couple of newspapers in New York. And now this, terrible.
No, I know. When you see today's New York Post headline and it's Huma cuts off Weiner, you just know that third strike. I feel guilty even finding that funny.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Now I'm sorry I repeated it.
Okay. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't seen that, Liz. Okay. Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So moving on to other parts of the entertainment world.
Yes.
So as I mentioned, I am an Emmy voter, and last night was the deadline for voting, because the Emmys, I think they're like September 17th or 18th, they come up pretty quickly. So so you get your ballot, all the voting is online, and they also have samples of each of the shows and each of the nominees online too, because you're really required by the rules of the Academy to watch this stuff and have a thoughtful voting process, not just vote for the things you work on and your friends work on. So
although it seems a lot like, voting for, titles in a high school yearbook, that you just vote for your friends and you vote for, the popular kids, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's fun, Julie, that there are some newer categories or less obvious categories where you actually get exposed to stuff that you didn't see otherwise, or a couple of these things I had heard about, but I had never really watched. But because I try to be a thoughtful Emmy voter, I watched as many of these things as I could, and I have a little time on my hands. So,
it sounds extensive, Liz, to watch all the nominees.
I felt like in the categories I knew, like best comedy and best drama, I don't need to rewatch episodes from all of those shows because I'm familiar with all of those shows.
Okay.
But here's a category where the nominees in it, I had not seen. And this is what I want to recommend to people. If you have time to kill on the internet, the things that are in the category, outstanding short form variety series. So you probably don't even know what qualifies.
Can't think of anything that would fall in that category.
No, this is what, the kids today, or all those kids that don't have cable TV, this is what they're watching, Julie. So, so I got to say, there are some things here that I would totally, totally recommend. So I'm going to take you through the nominees for outstanding short form variety series so that you can, in your own time at home, watch these. The first is a YouTube show called Epic Rap Battles of History. And it is hilarious. It's Epic Rap Battles of History. So it's well-known historical figures. Some are made up, some are real. And they're just, it's a rap battle. They're battling against each other. And then in the show, the viewers get to decide who won and who's next. So that is an excellent one that I would recommend. The next one I had never even heard of, but this is one hilarious show. It's on Funny or Die, and it's called Gay of Thrones. Have you ever seen Gay of Thrones?
No, I have. I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is obviously the hit show on HBO,
right?
Which I do not watch because I don't like fantasy and I don't like violence and I certainly don't like violent fantasy. But I'm familiar with Game of Thrones. And certainly we all know everyone talks about Game of Thrones all the time. But Gay of Thrones is a Game of Thrones recap show. So every week there's a host. His name is Jonathan Van Ness. And he styles a different guest's hair. So imagine you're sitting in his chair and you and he are talking about this week's episode of Game of Thrones. And so it's what they described as an LGBT perspective on Game of Thrones.
Okay. But
I got to say, hilarious. That was very, very funny. I might actually keep watching Game of Thrones, even though I never watched Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay. You know, we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Then this one I had seen before. Have you ever seen Honest Trailers on YouTube?
No, I haven't. No, okay. No, I'm writing this all down, Liz. This is all new to me.
This is why I thought I would share this obscure category with people, because outstanding short form variety series, there is some comedy gold in here, Julie. Comedy gold. So Honest Trailers, super funny. It's just trailers that tell you the truth about movies or TV shows. So they sort of make fun of the shows themselves. They mock the stars. It's a really clever concept.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yes. And the one that they, you have to enter the Emmys and you send in a particular episode for your entry. And the one that they sent in as their entry is Deadpool. And Ryan Reynolds is actually in the Honest Trailer, which is unusual. Normally they just mock the stars, but he actually appeared in his own Honest Trailer. Okay, the next one, James Franco's got something going on. He's just enough of a funny, weird dude that I'm just going to have to watch more of James Franco. So this show is called Making a Scene with James Franco. And it's on AOL, which who even knew AOL still existed? I didn't. I guess I did, but I certainly didn't watch anything on AOL. So this is, it's James Franco reinterpreting iconic TV moments and characters, but it's their mashups. So the one that they entered, they're pulling out ping pong balls, and he has to do a mashup of Breaking Bad and Sex in the City. Funny is all I got to say. Making a Scene with James Franco. Look it up online. So this is season two. Who even knew there was a season? I completely missed season one. So just passing that along as an entertainment tidbit. And then the last one in this category, another oddball entertainer. It's just called Park Bench with Steve Buscemi. You know who Steve Buscemi is.
He's an excellent actor.
Yes. Okay. Well, if you like Steve Buscemi, and who doesn't, right? He's just it's really just Steve Buscemi on a park bench in New York talking to average New Yorkers, but also to his celebrity friends. And there's always some kind of adventure. And so it's Steve Buscemi telling you about life in New York, sitting on a park bench with New Yorkers. And that is also on AOL. So, who knew? AOL.
Got to fire it up. I get that.
Welcome back. Where you been, AOL? So there you go, Julie. That is my review of the outstanding short form variety series at the Emmys.
So who did you vote for, or which show did you?
I think one of the rules might be you're not supposed to talk about who you voted for, or maybe that's the Oscars. I don't know.
Anyway. Oh, so you're not telling us. You're just going to leave us in suspense.
I'm going to leave you in suspense. How about we do this? How about you watch these?
Okay.
And then next week we can talk about who would you vote for if you were a voter. And then it really will be so exciting when the Emmys roll around, because then we'll be rooting for someone, Julie, in an otherwise obscure category that we didn't care about at all.
They probably don't even announce this at the Emmy show.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Yeah. So there's no point in me watching. But I would like to go see the trailer show, Honest Trailers. I wrote that down. That sounds funny. That sounds amusing. I'm not sure I have as much time as you do, Liz, to troll the internet.
Make time, Julie. I'm telling you, make time. This is the future of entertainment. This is what the kids are watching. This is why the kids are not watching TV.
Okay, Liz.
So
okay.
Maybe you don't care about that, but being in the TV, or formerly being in the TV business, I kind of care. What are people watching since they're not watching TV? Did you see that Sunday night's Video Music Awards, which is a show I always watch, the MTV VMAs, the ratings were down 127% or something crazy. It was just nobody watches TV anymore, Julie, if you're that age. So,
and I don't think they watch videos like those anymore. I mean, right? I mean,
that's... I don't know. We'll have to...
We don't know. But okay. But people aren't watching TV. They're all over at AOL. Okay. We got to get there.
Or you know what? It will come up later on. They're sleeping in trees, Julie.
Okay. Well, Liz, I was not selected for the Emmy committee or anything like that. I just went to the movies and,
which is also delightful. It's a delightful
That is
experience.
Delightful. That's still a good activity. And I want to I have some picks and pans. And so my first pick is a smaller movie, but I'm sure it's in LA, and I hope with word of mouth and with some buzz that this will get some national rollout. It's called Hell or High Water. Have you heard about this movie?
No.
Okay. Hell or High Water is the name of the movie, and it stars Chris Pine. Totally adorable Chris Pine. Ben Foster, he's excellent.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bridges is in this movie.
Oh.
And this is a modern day Western. It features two brothers, okay? And it's set in West Texas. I mean, it is so about Texas. It's great that way. But you don't have to be from Texas.
Okay, good.
This movie. And the whole thing is great. The acting, the script, the cinematography. I mean, everybody is great in this movie. So you are rooting for some bad guys, okay? But just, you know, Chris Pine and Ben Foster, I just can't go into it too much because I don't want it, because this movie actually has a plot. It has plot resolution.
Nice.
It has motivation. It has drama. It has emotion. Okay, so it's all together. And all the supporting actors and actresses are excellent in this movie.
All right.
Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water. Well, I'll put this in the show notes, which are always at satellitesisters.com. So if you're driving right now and couldn't write down any of my hilarious tips or Julie's Hell or High Water recommendation, it's always on our website, satellitesisters.com. Okay, good, Julie. I will add that to my list.
I mean, it's just, you know, lately I've seen a lot of movies and maybe it has good acting, but it has a lousy script or it doesn't all come together. This is all together. It's not a big movie, you know, but it's a very satisfying, solid movie.
Okay.
So I would recommend, with a super cute Chris Pine in it, which
is normally, if I heard something was a Western, I would just be out.
I know that. So that's, but it's modern. There are no horses involved.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a couple, maybe. No, just trucks, no horses.
Okay. All right.
The second that I want to recommend is Jeffrey Toobin. You know him. He's the CNN analyst, legal analyst, and he writes for The New Yorker. He has a new book out called American Heiress, The Wild Saga of the Kidnapping, Crimes, and Trial of Patty Hearst. I mean, have you heard about this?
Yes,
book?
I've heard. I'm dying to read this book, Julie, because I've heard him do a couple of interviews on podcasts that I listen to. He's a really, really good writer, first of all, and he also wrote OJ, The Ride of His Life, or The Run of His Life, whatever it was, that became the FX series this past year, The People versus OJ.
Right.
And the Patty Hearst story is fascinating, but it was kind of a long time ago now.
It was. I mean, this was done. This happened in 1973. So it was a long time ago. And a key thing that you just have to wrestle as a reader, and even finishing the book, I feel that way, is that Patty Hearst did not participate in this book. She did not, you know, Jeffrey Toobin tried to contacted her for friends for permission to interview her. And she didn't give any interviews for this. So the material that he used was her own book. She wrote a biography about the book, as well as all of the transcripts from all of the trials and all of the FBI information. So, you know, I think Jeffrey Toobin tried very hard to present her point of view and to represent her point of view in all of the situations. And so it happened a long time ago, but when you going back, I mean, I remember this kidnapping. It was the first of what was, you know, going to be, you know, a number of big, gigantic, it was sort of pre-OJ.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, in that it had many of the elements that sort of came together. So there was celebrity involved because here she was an heiress, you know, that it was, you know, these incredible crimes that no one believed. It sort of dovetailed at the time when they first were doing major media coverage like this. And, you know, as the book unfolds and the SLA members are like blown up in that giant shootout in Los Angeles.
Right.
It's one of the first times that the local TV station where they were using handheld cameras so you could watch it on TV. Now, we all got used to watching like O.J. Simpson and that big situation, but this was ahead, you know, this was a precursor to that, you know, but it sort of all came together in this story. But, and I remember, you know, I remember it at the time, but now going back, I mean, she was only 19 years old, and there is a very detailed account of the kidnapping. It was really brutal, mm-hmm. the way they broke in and they kidnapped her and her fiance, that Steve Weed, he ran away. He didn't like stay.
Oh, really? And, wow.
No, he ran out of the house. So, but even the boyfriend, the fiance, Steve Weed, we all have images of seeing him at the press conferences.
I haven't thought about him in a while, Jules. That's
I know all just... these names are going to come back to you, Liz. That's Steve Weed. There he is. But do you realize he was Patty Hearst's math teacher in high school? She had actually attended the same sort of chain of high schools that we went to, Liz, uh-huh. the Convent of the Sacred Heart. And it hadn't really worked out for Patty at the Convent of the Sacred Heart. She was one of five girls. She was the middle sister. It didn't seem like they had a lot of structure going on at home. And there really was, because of all the wealth, there wasn't a lot of emphasis put on academic achievement or going to college or completing college. And it was the 70s, the 60s and 70s. So it seemed kind of loose. Patty was in the middle. She was, I don't think she was a rebel, but she wasn't really focused on school. And so the nuns at Sacred Heart asked her to leave I guess they don't really ask you to leave, but they thought she might do better at another school. So she went to this other girls' school in Northern California, and Steve Weed was the math professor. And they started having an affair, you know, while...
Really?
Yes. Yes. So they're having an affair. She finishes high school, and then he is getting a graduate degree at Berkeley. So she moves in with him. Okay. And this is horrifying to her mother, who is very proper. Patty's mother was very proper, very horrifying. And so they were really pressuring Steve and Patty to like get married, you know? And so when they got engaged, this is why I'm telling this part of the story. When they got engaged, Patty's mother made a really big deal of it because finally, you know, things were proper again. Even though she was living with her former math teacher in Berkeley, she was now properly engaged. So they put a Patty Hearst and Steve Weed's engagement announcement and pictures in both of the papers in San Francisco. And it was from that engagement picture that's where the SLA members decided to kidnap Patty Hearst.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
I never knew that. So, I mean, so even if you feel like you know this story, there are like details like that, like, oh my gosh, how could that happen? You know, of all the chances. And then there is a lot of detail about, you know, was this the Stockholm syndrome? Was she really, you know, I mean, there was certainly trauma. I mean, I think he does a good job of describing the trauma of being kidnapped. She was like kept in a closet with a blindfold on for a couple of weeks. She certainly was emaciated. She wasn't, you know, it wasn't like she was eating a balanced diet while she was kidnapping. But at some point there was some turn where she then started participating in the bank, you know, in the bank robbery.
Right. We all remember those famous photos. Now she's Tanya, right? Yes. Changed her name to Tanya. She's wearing the black beret. She's robbing banks. It was an amazing news story.
Yeah, it was. And the FBI were absolutely could not find her. You know, they were like doing their best and, you know, even the ransom, you know, that the ransom was that the Hearst family was to start to feed all the poor in Oakland. And that went, you know, it just was crazy. That went, you know, didn't go well. The food distribution was sort of botched. And at the time, the Hearst family didn't have that much cash. I mean, they were one of these super rich families.
They just got a castle.
Yeah, they had castle. They had San Simeon, you know, they could go there. But they couldn't, you know, but they couldn't go other places. And a little details like Patty was the only daughter that shared her father's passion or interest in hunting. So he used to take her, you know, hunting. And so she knew how to shoot a gun, which obviously
came in handy as Tanya.
Came in helpful when she turned into Tanya. So I think Jeffrey still leaves, you know, that leaves the reader with, you have to decide. Was, you know, she was convicted of this, but you have to decide, was she really coerced? How much did she participate in? Why didn't she run away when she had chances to do that? All of these questions, but I think he does a good, you know, that is unresolved. And the fact that she didn't participate in the book, I think leaves it, you know, I don't think you can resolve that issue. Yeah.
Okay. I am totally reading this.
Yes.
This sounds really, really great.
And they're just, again, like F. Lee Bailey. He's running the trial. And because Jeffrey Toobin is a legal analyst, there's a lot. It's interesting about how the trial worked. And then finally, how her sentence was commuted by Jimmy Carter, because Patty Hearst's father was a big Democratic supporter, and her mother was a big Republican supporter, if you can believe that. But it worked out. That was handy because at certain points, Ronald Reagan was involved in helping the Hearst family. And Jimmy Carter commuted the sentence. She was sentenced to 7 years in prison for her participation in the bank robbery. She only served for 22 months. And then Jimmy Carter wrote Bill Clinton, and she got a presidential pardon on the last day that Bill Clinton was in office, that Jimmy Carter asked Bill Clinton to give Patty Hearst a pardon.
Well, this story has everything.
It has everything for it, Liz. So I want you to read it. It's a good one.
Okay.
And
what's the title of the book again?
The title of the book is American Heiress, The Wild Saga of Kidnapping, Crimes, and Trial of Patty Hearst.
Okay.
So I think it leaves you with, you know, there's still the fundamental question, but just fascinating reading, fascinating details. Don't miss it.
Okay.
And finally,
two good picks, Julie.
Two picks. Now I got a big pan. Okay. This movie looks terrible. How this ever got made, I don't know. Florence Foster Jenkins, that movie with Meryl Streep. Okay. It's a movie about a woman, an heiress, another heiress, who became an opera singer, even though she had a really bad voice. So I know Meryl Streep can act. I know she can wear period costumes and, you know, and that's all great. I know Hugh Grant's in it and he's really cute, but this sounds terrible. Why do you want to go see a movie about someone who can't sing? Okay.
Julie, that is so funny that you say that, because I've seen that trailer multiple times now. And every time I've kind of said to myself, I'm sorry, Meryl, I cannot go see this movie.
Yeah.
Look, why would I want to go see that story? There's nothing appealing to me about that story, even though I try to support the work of Meryl Streep.
I know. I love Meryl Streep. I know. I two people this week said, oh, I'm going to see that movie this weekend. I was like, I zip it. I kept my mouth shut. But that just looks terrible.
Well, if you're listening and you've seen it and you want to convince Julie and I otherwise, you can send us an email, that's sisters@satellitesisters.com, or go to the Facebook group and post your review of this movie. Because I'm with you, Julie. I'm like, I could not be less interested in seeing this.
Yeah, you have to be honest in your review. Okay, yeah. Even if you like Meryl Streep, I want you to be honest about this movie. Okay, do not be kind. Don't be generous to her. She has like 100 Oscars. Okay, so she can be in a bad movie. All right, there you go. Those are my picks and pans.
Okay, thank you. Very complete.
Just off topic, but this is an important postscript. For those of you that are, you know, have just taken your sons and daughters to college, or I know for many West Coast schools, they're a little later, so it may be this weekend or coming up. I heard a great tip this week, and I think this mother who thought this up, she deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for this. Okay, she has a college freshman, a son, and one of the things you have to do, Liz, is you have to buy all, you know, their bedding. They have special bedding. You have to buy it for universities. All the beds are, you need these extra long sheets. So you have to do that. So what this mother bought for her son is she bought him a comforter, and then she bought 6 fitted sheets. because she figured that's about a term. So what she did when she took her son to school, she made up the bed and she put all six fitted sheets on the mattress. So that way, this kid,
he just peels them off one at a time.
Yeah. So every 2 weeks, she said to him, all you have to do is peel one off.
That is genius. I'm going to start doing that here.
Nobel Peace Prize for that mother. Is that the, I told, when I heard this, I was like, Leon, get on it. You have to get the six fitted sheets, because she just recognized that her son was never going to do laundry. He was never going to change his bedding. And that this was the way to go. So.
Okay. I like it. That's a public service to pass that along.
Okay.
To
all right. I'll post it.
Okay. So I have a little bit of a sticky situation. Now, let me start by saying it has resolved itself. But I wanted to get your point of view on, am I correct to have been a little bit perturbed, you know?
Okay.
So here's the scenario, and I'm going to slightly lower my voice.
Why? Why are you lowering?
Because guess who it involves?
Is it your neighbor downstairs?
Yes, Julie, you don't have to whisper. That's okay.
It's your neighbor downstairs.
You can speak in full voice.
Okay.
And if my voice is too low, you can just repeat what I said.
Okay.
So listeners can hear. Okay, here's the deal. My toilet handle.
Wait a minute. The fact that that would be the topic.
No. Okay. I shouldn't have jumped to that. Let me start with this. Let me start with the phone call I got last Monday morning. It was probably, I don't know, 8:30, 9 a.m. I get a call from distraught downstairs neighbor trying to get to the bottom of a very, very, very serious situation. She said, there has just been like unusual amounts of water flowing through all of the pipes in the building since early this morning. I've been down in the garage. I can't figure out what it is. It's just water coursing through the pipes. And it sounds like, you know, someone was taking a shower for like 2 hours or something terrible has gone wrong with the plumbing. And I'm like standing here like, well, not here. No. And she's like, well, I was standing in the garage and it sounds like it's coming from your unit. Like
it's inside your home.
So I go into my bathroom and I notice that my toilet is running slightly, right? Okay. Like running slightly. Those are the keywords. Like not even like flushing, but you know how sometimes.
Just a little gurgling.
I would classify it as gurgling, Julie.
Okay. Okay.
And so when I jiggled the handle, the gurgling stopped. And I said, well, my toilet was running, but that can't possibly fit the description of what you were just telling me, which is alarming amounts of water coursing through all of the pipes in the building. And she's like, no, it just stopped. That was it. So, okay. So there you go. So now we've identified an issue that my toilet is running.
Okay.
And as we know, she's super sensitive to noise. So what was...
She's really targeted all of your plumbing.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
One time it was your disposal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your kitchen sink.
Really,
it's
any time...
bathtub. I mean, it is all of the plumbing.
Another time it was the... She identified... You know how when you're doing your laundry and the tub is filling in your washing machine.
Yeah.
And then when it cuts off the water and stops filling, you get this little bit of a clunk sound, you know, just the thing, the valve turning off. She's actually complained about that sound. So this is so much water coursing through the pipes. I can't figure out what's wrong. Turns out gurgling, that's what it is, gurgling. So I was like, okay, I will be aware of that. And I'll get that fixed. And of course, I don't know how to fix that, but so I'm thinking, okay, I can figure out how to do this myself. So here's where we get into the, where I need your judgment. So over the next 48 hours, she called me 4 more times about the exact same problem. Anytime I used the toilet and it ran for more than like 2 minutes, the phone would ring. Here's my issue. And then I'll tell you how I resolved it, because I'm actually very, very proud of myself. If you and your neighbor had that kind of issue, if you identified that, oh, your toilet is running and I can hear it, so can you get that fixed? It seems to me then you know what the issue is, so you don't need to keep calling. Obviously, the person upstairs is on it and is figuring out how to get it fixed. That would be my assumption. The assumption here was, I need to call you every time it happens. What's up with that? Honestly, like, how much time do I have? And like, a couple of times I walked away without jiggling. So that's all it was. I go back in, I jiggle, it stops.
You could just not flush your toilet, Liz. How about that? How about that? How would your downstairs neighbor like that?
Okay, now you're going to have to keep your voice down, Julie, because she's going to be able to hear that. So anyway, it just seemed like if it was me, if the situation was reversed and I knew that we had identified the problem and the person was going to fix the problem, I wouldn't keep calling. I would just assume like, okay, any day now, that's going to get addressed. So anyway,
I mean, because unless you called, because even if you had called a plumber to to fix it, the plumber may not be able to come unless you paid, you know, extra to have him come in the first 24 hours.
Exactly.
That you might have had to wait to the end of the week to have the plumber show up for the gurgling toilet.
Yes.
You know, because that is even in the plumber plumbing world. That if they were doing a triage in terms of jobs, the gurgling toilet is probably not going to get.
That's the low priority.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly, Julie, if I was her, I would assume that I was working on it. And that's exactly what the scenario was. In fact, I wasn't working on it. I was just trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out what to do. So here's what I did. And it all worked out fine. I did, again, trying to like channel millennial skills. I watched a YouTube video.
Good for you, Liz. Good for you.
That's
I'm
what
proud
I did.
Of you. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yes, I watched. Do you know there are a lot of YouTube videos about how to fix a toilet handle? You can get any number of people can explain to you how to do this. So I watched it. It seemed like it was within my skill set. I went over to the Busy Bee. I took my handle out, removed the handle. Took it over to the Busy Bee, which is the hardware store on Santa Monica Boulevard. You've probably been there with mom, like super old school hardware store.
Yes, I love that place. I love that place.
It's like the last great old hardware store in America. The Busy Bee, I held up the handle. Is that I need to replace this. They gave it to me. The whole thing, it took me less than a minute to actually do. So I give myself high scores on that. But, you know, it was just more that the neighborly understanding of, okay, we're working on this. Now, you actually don't need to call me every time I flush my toilet. I'm not thinking that you need to do that. Am I wrong? Is it unreasonable?
Not unreasonable, Liz. Okay. Not unreasonable.
All right. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. That's okay.
Now you have new plumbing skills, Liz. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Okay, let's move on to a Tuesday
trend. Yes, we have to get to a big trends, Tuesday trends.
Because I understand what you and Leon have always done on the Tuesday show is trends. And so I was just thinking about what could I bring forward that would be useful, especially here we are in the end of summer, going into Indian summer time of year. And that's when I saw this story in the New York Times Magazine, Julie. It's called How to Sleep in a Tree. And I thought, that is so interesting that they are actually writing a story about how to sleep in a tree. Because when I was in Bend last month, I heard about a trend that relates to this issue. Apparently, hammocking is a trend, or at least it is among the kids in Bend, Oregon. Have you heard about the hammocking
trend? No, what is that? What exactly does that mean?
Well, you know, all the friends who are, instead of spending the night at each other's house, they string up hammocks in the backyard and people are, they just, the kids are all sleeping in the backyard on hammocks though. Not camping, but hammocking.
Okay.
So you
is that comfortable? I mean, I don't think I've ever slept in a hammock for any length of time.
I can't, well, I thought it sounded like that could be delightful until I read this story about how to sleep in a tree. It sounds awful. It just sounds like maybe when you're 16, this is a good idea. But let me take you through a couple of the steps, and then you can tell me if you're going to get this in before your summer ends. Okay, tip number one is start low to the ground, right?
That would be good.
And this, Yeah. And this is all provided by a guy named Andrew Joslin, who regularly slept in a hammock in his Boston backyard. But here's where it starts. So that's number one. Start low to ground. Number two, if you intend to sleep 15 feet off the ground or higher, first learn to climb safely. Okay. Good tip, Andrew. Okay. Learning to climb. So you need to learn to climb. Number three, here's what you're going to need to like sleep in a tree, Julie. You're going to need 150 feet of arborist rope, a harness, a helmet, carabiners, a special tree sleeping hammock, or a lightweight platform called a portaledge. Like you see rock climbers and mountain climbers on that sometimes. So that's okay. That sounds not fun. That's a lot of equipment.
Well, people like sports with equipment, Liz. I mean, that, you know, that's for some people, it's all about the equipment. Okay. So I can see that this trend could catch on, you know, that you could just have all these carabiners and the helmet and the sporty hammock. You know, you could just would be very satisfying for a lot of people.
Okay. Well, number four, Julie, is before you ascend, check the weather, because you really don't want to be dozens of feet off the ground in the dark during high winds or lightning. So again, this is just getting more fun as we go down the steps. Number five, you need to assess the tree's health, because if you like tie yourself to dead limbs, that's not a good strategy, Julie.
Limbs fall down all the time. I'm very vigilant to all the trees here in Texas, and limbs are coming down all over the place here, Liz. Okay. So that could be a real issue. Tell me, where is the bathroom when you sleep?
Okay, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. There's another tree health related issue, because as you climb, Andrew tells you to remain alert, because you need to be not only listening for wildlife that might be living in the tree, but listen for the telltale buzz indicating a bee swarm or a wasp hive.
Okay. Now I'm really
okay. Out. So now you've got your 150 feet of rope. You've got your harness. You've got your helmet. You've got your carabiners. You've got your hammock or your platform, right? So now you have to get your actual supplies. So you have to take along water, food, a sleeping bag, a headlamp, and a container to urinate in.
In the hammock?
In the hammock. Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm just doing the, I don't understand how that works for a girl. I don't understand.
And just the last couple of tips, because I know you're getting ready to do this now.
I know.
He suggests to you, always keep your harness and rope on while you're asleep.
Oh,
you
know,
because you could just drift off and roll right off that thing.
Yeah.
So you're really dangling in a thin nylon cocoon. But he said, prepare to feel sedated, that there is something about slumber in a tree that goes back to our DNA as great apes, he believes. Just, you know.
That's appealing, Liz, to have deep slumber. You know, there's some nights I would do anything, and maybe climbing a tree is part of it to get a good night's sleep.
Climbing a tree to sleep in it. One of his most special nights, he spent a night 190 feet up in a giant sequoia. And here's the thing about sleeping in a tree, Julie. He says, in a tree, you never rush out of bed. You open your eyes and you just lie there.
And scream.
So how to sleep in a tree if you want to get in on the hammocking trend.
Okay.
We'll put these tips, the handy dandy way to hammock will be at satellitesisters.com.
That is hilarious. I don't know which of those things is more terrifying. The height, the darkness, the bees, the bats, the weak limbs, or
urinating into a container.
I can't say. Well, Liz, I think we need to end on a happy note. Okay, we know this. We know this from the beginning, but now there's research. It's out that, you know, dogs' brains, they've been doing some research on dogs' brains, and I think it's all fine work when they're working, you know, researching with dogs.
Sure.
And that they now realize that dogs process words that they hear in the same part of their brain that we process words in our brains. So dogs, they do care what we say and how we say it, that they have some mental ability to process language. And so when you're praising Ferris, when you're telling him he's a good boy, mm-hmm. you know, or you're scolding Ferris, mm-hmm. they can tell the difference, both right. in terms of the words and the intonation. So I think this is all yeah. good. Yeah. It's not surprising.
Right, because I know when I say to him, okay, you stay here, I'm going to work, he just stays there.
And, he stays there.
Yeah.
He can process that. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. they still cannot talk, Liz. That is... I know, Liz. That's the part that's heartbreaking. Yes. So it's good. They're listening, but they can't respond.
Yeah. All right, well... Next week, I will share an update on the book I'm reading now. You know the fabulous Susan Casey. She has been on Satellite Sisters multiple times. Yeah. She wrote that great book about sharks.
Oh, yes.
And she wrote another great book about big waves and the big surfers who surf the big waves. Well, her new book is called Voices in the Ocean. I think it's called that. I don't have it in front of me. And it's about dolphins, Julie. And it's about the super skills of the dolphins. And see, the thing about dolphins, as opposed to dogs, is that dolphins do talk. They actually, there is research, I will prep myself better for next week, that they listen to humans and they mimic humans and they will say words back to humans. How about that?
Oh, that's good, Liz. But I rather still have a
talking dog.
I'd rather have a talking dog. Just a couple of words. Doesn't have to say much. So,
well, maybe okay. we'll get a how-to article in the Times about how to train your dog to talk.
Okay.
They do have how to train a rat, which I wasn't interested in.
Oh,
and
no.
How to read lips, not interested. You might want to try this one, how to pass a CIA background check. That's one of them.
But, okay.
I only read the How to Sleep in a Tree because that's all I was interested in. Okay. Wow.
All right. Well, we did that's quite a bit, Liz.
Happy Tuesday.
And it's on a Tuesday. Quite a bit. Very productive, Liz.
Got anything going on the rest of this week?
I'm telling you, Liz, just embracing the last bit of summer as much as I can. Yeah. That's really my theme for the week because I just have a twinge of sadness. You know, I'm happy about fall coming. But summer is my favorite season, so that's it.
All right. Well, we got to get going. And if there's ever any shows you want to listen to, they're all at iTunes and at Stitcher. If you're at either of those places, if you subscribe, you'll always get our new shows. And while you're there, if you could rate our show or review our show, that is really helpful to our ranking. Also, we have a whole searchable audio archive at satellitesisters.com. If you just go there and click on listen to the shows, that's where I found like the classic of all classics, Julie, you, the slobbery tennis ball and the stranger, which I reposted over the weekend.
That's a funny show. The sisters are funny.
Funny show. So if you haven't listened to the mystery of Julie, the slobbery ball and the stranger, I think you're going to want to do that. And of course, there's a dog involved. So I posted, I hope that your dog Zorro doesn't mind that I posted a photo of him on our Facebook page yesterday, just so that people could see the dog at the center of the big mystery.
Yeah, now it's a cute picture. He's wearing a little cowboy hat. He's looking kind of jaunty.
All right. Well, everyone, have a good week. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.